Hello, everyone. It's me, Mark Fonseca-Renderu, Bicycle Mark, and you're about to listen to another edition of Citizen Reporter. And today we're going all the way over across the Atlantic from the Netherlands to Mexico City, and we're talking to a dear friend about what's going on in life these days, how it all looks, and whatever else comes to mind. I really enjoy having these conversations, and therefore the quest continues. So I'm really glad to have you with me. And thanks to everyone who's sent feedback, even some people who have sent in donations via PayPal. Thank you so much. And now, on with the program. Hi everyone, welcome back. I don't know what week this is, and after a while, is it even worth counting? It's the time of coronavirus, and wherever you are, you probably have your own foggy recollection of how long you've been home, how long you've been scared, or not, how long you've been following news, all the things, how long you've been baking bread, because I can't seem to find flour. You guys all have it. But as part of the series of podcasts on living in a time of corona all over the world, I'm also using this opportunity to talk with old friends, to hear about how people are doing. And if there are projects, great. If there are curiosities, also good. And I'm really happy that after probably a couple, we'll talk about it, but after a long time of not speaking with voices, a dear friend of mine is on the line from the dear Mexico City. It's Lorena de la Parra. Hello, Lorena.
Hi, hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And yeah, when I was thinking up like, oh, who do I want to reach out to and who should I say hello to and who would it be fun to talk to? You were high on my list, Lorena, because we always have good conversations.
Yeah, I miss our conversations and I miss Amsterdam also.
Yeah, there you are in the pandemic. There we are. But you're in Mexico City. You taught me a lot about Mexico City. Like, I mean, of course, I knew some things. I have some other friends. But you would tell me stories. You would talk about your life, all aspects of this city. And you lived outside of that city for, what was it, 2 years?
I lived 2 years in Central Europe, let's call it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And 2 years in London. So four away.
Yeah. And so it was in that time that we met, that you lived here in Amsterdam. It was a great time. And you made your way back to Mexico City, what, two years now?
Yeah, I guess I came back in November of 2018.
And I mean, prior to Corona, because we have to do everything like before Corona, after Corona.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Prior to Corona, I mean, what was it like? I've been meaning to ask you this for a while, but what was it like coming back? Also, like for people who don't know you, you are, among other things, an actress. And I say among other things because you are multi-talented, really. And in many languages as well. But still, I know you, I know your love of acting. And so I knew that was surely something on your agenda. But start from when you came back. What were you thinking and what was it like?
I was living in Paris for 6 months and I really didn't enjoy it. I found that Paris was a really complicated city to find an apartment, to move around. Though I loved it in a way, it's also a very beautiful city and hanging out with people there was awesome. And French culture has its lovely things also. Mm. But I decided to come back because I really missed the theater scene and my friends here and my family. So it felt like fresh air, though it's very polluted. Or it was very polluted. And nowadays with the corona, it's not so polluted. Apparently it's lowering the pollution levels, whatever. But yeah. And immediately I came back to the theater scene, at least the independent, subsidized by the government theater scene in here, yeah. Which was nice. And I also tried a few things in TV, minor roles here and there, which has also given me some experience and some short films and music videos, which was very fun to do.
I didn't know about the music videos. Maybe I did. Because so I follow all these activities, and you and I follow each other, I think, with social media, of course. And through social media, we learn some things, but there's lots of gaps, right? And I remember when you went back, judging by social media and the occasional, you know, text chat we would have, I thought, wow, as soon as you came home, there was so much to do. And that was either because there was so much to do or you created it. That part I wasn't sure.
I think I created it because actually I feel like, what am I going to do now after living another 2 years abroad? I felt a bit lost, so I tried to reconnect as much as I could with whoever I could. My friends, they were very generous to still include me in their projects. So, yeah, I think it was a bit of really trying to do as much as I could. There were times in which nothing was happening. That's, I think, the hard part of being an actor. And I really like writing. So I've been writing a screenplay, which hasn't been shoot, but I hope it happens one day. And also a theater play, which I can talk to you about.
Great.
One second. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about that also in terms of you coming home, because, you know, here you were always open to doing projects if they were theater, acting, any kind of acting, and you were open to doing it in other languages, including English, as it was thought, well, maybe that's what has to be done. And I always thought going back to Mexico City, although I know you've done stuff in international theater there anyway, but I thought, yeah, it must be empowering. I've always thought it's empowering if I went back to the US and tried to do content in English. I mean, I'm doing English content here, but I'm in the Netherlands. There's a difference, you know.
Yeah. And
you must have felt something like that when you came home as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's starting to be like more castings in English here, which is a great opportunity to try to showcase that ability. But I also felt that going away was a disadvantage because not many people knew me because I have been creating here, which I think it's still like a thing I have to overcome somehow.
I think a lot about that as well, just out of sight, out of mind, out of country, out of mind. People forget you and what you're capable of. I mean, I would say no one would ever forget you, Lorena, but I always feel that way with a lot of industries. It's so much about what you've done lately, even though you've done great things, and maybe that was more than a year ago, but it's still great.
But, totally.
Yeah. So there, you're doing all the things, right? Life is puttering along. I've seen the images. And then beginning of 2020 comes. I mean, you know, we know how it goes kind of from Asia towards the rest of the world, but Mexico City, what do you remember? What was said? There's a virus, it's a pandemic, and stay home, everyone.
The first time I heard about this was in January, that someone said like coronavirus, it like you start bleeding out, but then somebody was like mixing the information from a virus in Brazil, which didn't really did anything, but they mixed the information. So I was really scared when I heard again about coronavirus, but it wasn't as bad as that. It is really bad, but not as bad as that Ebola kind of thing. But now, I don't know, it was really scary how quickly this, like, everything started shutting down and suddenly, I don't really know how to describe it.
But it's interesting, too, that from across continents, across countries, people, at least initially, because I know we can also talk about the rebellion, but initially people went with it. You know, you would have said, oh, no, that's a thing. You know, in China, they have more authority, and so people obey, but United States, I suppose Mexico as well, people obeyed in this case.
Yeah.
not even fully understanding what was going on, but did it.
Well, though this is a country in development, mm-hmm. which makes it harder for people to really stop all their activities. So there's like a big part of the population that hasn't stopped working, like people who sell food outside. They're still doing it because they really need to survive. They live on a daily income. So there were some street art. Well, it's not really street art, but saying like, I rather die from corona than from hunger.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That says a lot. That says a lot about what's been going on in different places. What do you see, like, for people that are street vendors, for example, selling food? Do they look and act exactly as they always did right now?
Well, some of them are wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But some of them, like, it doesn't seem like a great change. I bet their daily sales are going down because yep. there's so many people in the street.
Yeah.
It's understandable as well.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you rely on people that are going to work, because there is a general order right now that people should work from home or just be home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not getting all those people that are, commuting to their job or on their way somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as many people, definitely. And also like the government had to cancel some metro lines and stuff like that because there were still people going out. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw that New York will now, and it's so funny that this is not standard, but they will stop the subway from like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting it slightly wrong, but 2 o'clock in the morning until 6 a.m. to wash it. And this was not the way, right? This was not a city that would wash its metro. It just wasn't. I mean, yeah. I don't think it was a daily thing. And now it is. Temporary.
The good part of it is people, it's being more aware about like cleaning, washing their hands and stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah. It must be amazing though. You're living, because I spoke to a friend who's in LA last week, and that'll be the episode right before you. And he's, you know, the first thing he talks about is the city looks so much better. There's no traffic. He wanted a relaxing afternoon. So he went to the airport to go look at LAX.
Wow.
And I wonder where you are.
I've had that feeling like when I have driven a few times to go to my dad's place. He's not even there, but I like go do laundry there.
Nice option.
And it's amazing, like the time I drive is so much less.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird to see what the world could be or can be. It's like, it's possible. Of course, there's all these side effects and problems that are happening right now, and that's why. But it's amazing to see, like, oh, what would your city look like if there was no traffic? And how would it feel? And, you know, some people say, oh, we need to go back to the everyday normal. But you have to see some things these days that you go, this is quite nice.
Totally. I mean, do think I'm enjoying, like, the slow pace of life, like having time to do things. Now I'm practicing yoga every day, like twice a day.
Wow.
Or I'm trying.
Right.
And I love having time for that, and I like the time to have time to cook, for example, which I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy those things. I think I'll try to keep a more relaxed schedule after these.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's possible.
Yeah. I've taken up at least two more instruments in the house, and I'm practicing them ever since this started.
I've seen the banjo. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a clarinet from a neighbor that has become a thing for, yeah. Yeah. More time. But it's also what I enjoy, and I can imagine you could have as well, is, look, social life is important, and surely there are different ways that we do miss it. But sometimes it's nice not to be expected to go out on a Friday or a Saturday, which I've been avoiding for years anyway. Yeah. Oh, I can't go. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have like this feeling of, I don't know if it's guilt or remorse of not going out on a Friday or Saturday. Like, I'm missing out on something, and now I'm like, I'm not missing out on anything. So,
yeah. Actually, what that, I mean, to some extent, it's less expectations of others, which have some influence over you, I. You know, we think about the expectations of others. And in this case, if there are no expectations, you know.
It is. That's the cool thing about it. Yeah, I do miss hanging out with people after a month inside. I do miss that feeling, but I'm also enjoying that for sure.
And so for, I mean, a lot of what you do, what are you able to do now? Like, you know, for example, a call to try out for something.
Yeah, I've been doing some online, or I send them through an agency. I haven't been selected for anything yet, but... And I work with a contemporary theater company, and we're doing like readings online.
Ooh, okay. For the public.
Yeah. I mean, it must be a little boring to just see what you're reading, but that's nice. And I've also tried, a friend of mine directed a little monologue I have. But he did it from the distance, so I would send him videos, and he would say like, "Oh, do this and do that," and then we created this thing that we'll release soon, I hope.
Okay.
And I've been doing that on the acting part.
Yeah.
I've been trying to write also, which I find funny because I don't feel as focused in the quarantine time. Do you experience that too?
Yeah, I mean, my house is a circus of activities and things that you can look at, pick up, try. I always have something I want to be doing, and then I look at something else. Oh yeah, I'm going to pick up this project, and I'm going to do some laundry, and I'm going to try cooking a thing, and then I'm going to come back to the project.
Totally. Yeah, I feel the same. And I'm also like, it's so much information and so much to read and so much to watch that sometimes I don't even know what do I want to do at that exact moment.
Yeah, I'm actually spending less time watching things like per day. I'll still watch a thing on a day, but I don't, even movies, I haven't been watching all movies because there's a lot of other activities I'm doing. That's odd because I love movies. Anyway, I'm sure I'll come back to them.
Yeah. You have time now.
Yeah. You recently also put out a call, I think, for movies to watch.
I want to know people's recommendations of films and
By the way, so I might cut this part out, but I want to tell you about this. There was, just through the randomness of Netflix, right? There was a series from South Korea called Crash Landed on You. And it was the story of a South Korean, like, wealthy, very spoiled, very demanding business leader, this young woman who inherited her business or something. Uh-huh. She goes hang gliding, and suddenly there's a strange wind that blows her to North Korea. She wakes up in North Korea, like in a tree, and she's found by a North Korean border guard who has, like, a heart of gold and is very charming and good looking and so forth. And he has a very charming and kind of clumsy group, his troops, you know, his unit. And he, through a series of misunderstandings, he basically hides her so that the North Korean government doesn't know she's in the country. And then begins the comedy slash charm, because there's something between them in an odd way. But it's also this constant, she doesn't understand life in North Korea, and she's used to luxuries and they don't have them, but yet there's something so, everything tastes better, everything smells great. The show looks like a tacky soap opera and is so good. It is so much fun. And I really think it's a like an apparently I looked it up in Korea. It was big. It was one of the biggest soap operas of the last few years, soap operas shows. And it lasts, it's one season, but I think really it's three seasons because it goes like 20 episodes or something.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And I knocked that out in, I don't know, 2 months, I guess. But I can't find anybody to talk to about it. I guess I should reach out to old North South Korean friends. And you apparently the writers, the writers were North Korean defectors, a few of them in South Korea. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'd love to watch it.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the kind of show I know you would like. So
sounds great. Yeah. Love to.
These kind of discoveries, there's also time for that, which is kind of good.
Yeah. Did you watch Parasites?
I did finally. I waited a long time because there was so much expectation. And then I watched Parasite and it's when I watched it after I was thinking, that's really weird. Some of it is really good. And then at the same hand, I don't think I like it. I like it like mildly, but I do think of it often over the last few weeks. Yeah. Yeah. It comes back in interesting ways. I think I was playing with Morse code.
But yeah, it comes back. Yes, I'm here.
Did you love it?
I did. But I also thought it was hard to watch. Like, I was so tense while I was watching it. Like, I remember the feeling of like all this tension after it ended.
Yeah, I got annoyed. I don't remember exactly why. I just remember saying, like, no, come on. No, well.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I did enjoy like the details of the film and like the filmmaking craft itself. I thought it was awesome. Yeah.
I wish I didn't know of the awards that it got because I think that would have, my eyes would have looked at it differently.
Yeah. I watched that Oscar ceremony and I really didn't like it. I don't know why. Except for Eminem.
Oh, he's in there. In an Oscar ceremony. Sure. 8 Mile.
Out of nowhere, he comes and plays his song from after 10 years ago, which is fun.
Yeah. So and since I'm learning about differences between countries and experiences, one of the topics that I definitely wanted to include is this whole idea of leadership and you know, who we listen to these days. I mean, where you are, at least like yourself or the people that you do talk to, your circle of communication these days, who do people pay a lot of attention to know, like, what do we do next? Or what are we going to, whether they agree or disagree, but they pay attention. Is it the president or?
Actually, it's been a phenomenon because this Secretary of Health, I think he's the Secretary of Health. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I don't even know what's his official title. His name is López-Gatell. And he's like every middle-aged woman now is crazy about him. He gives a daily talk about the virus and how is it going to be managed and statistics and blah, 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 measures. And everybody's crazy about him. He's like the guy of the hour.
Wait, but he gives a daily press conference. Does the president or he just leaves it to López-Gatell?
The president also, but nowadays, I guess like he talks for half an hour and the president just for not so long, I guess. I do not watch either of them, but
no.
But many people do just to look at this guy. I mean, he's
okay. I see him.
I don't know, a sex symbol, but he's pretty close to something like that. Yeah.
I see him, you know, he's does he have a cool like short name? Like Logat?
People say López-Gatell.
Oh, okay.
Last name. Okay. Yeah.
I always like to check on those short names, you know, an AMLO type.
Yeah. And everybody's like, in his youth, he was a Boy Scout and like all these things that really are not important. But
so they listen to him. I mean, also because he has the medical background, of course.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm guessing he'll be our next president.
Yeah, I mean, times like this, out of all the different jobs in government, the person in charge of health has a bigger chance to make a jump, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Nah, because see, anytime I talk to someone in the United States, it's always, we don't have leadership. And then over here, it's more mixed, like, no, you know, leaders have made some useful statements, but it depends on which country in Europe always. Yeah. So it's always curious, like, who are people listening to?
Who do people listen in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands?
I mean, the prime minister still gets a good amount of attention when he gives a talk. Also because I don't think he does it daily. I just noticed that every few weeks people say, oh, they're gonna make a decision this week about... So last week, it was a big deal because they were going to announce something about schools opening. And they did. They decided... in small groups next week, actually, school starts again for under 13.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So all my friends with 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds are like, well, why not 13 and 14-year-olds? So there's already a lot of like arguments, but people still listen. I think Germany also has some influence. And I only say that because Germany has started the, you got to wear a mouth cover or a mask in public. And including on public transport, I should say on public transport and maybe in shops. And we don't have that here. And there's no argument, but people are not wearing them here. So if the government did say you got to wear them, there would definitely be a quick, like a rush because nobody has them. They're kind of hard to get. So, and in the beginning they were like, no, don't do that anyway. We shouldn't do that. We don't want to take the masks away from people who need them and da, da, da. But now if Germany goes this direction, France is, I think, also going in that direction. So you feel kind of like all the countries around us are doing this. We probably have to, you know? So now I got a sewing machine, borrowed it. I have elastics.
Awesome.
And I'm going to go through some, I'm studying materials now for like old bed sheets and which ones are the best thickness or what. Yeah.
I have mine around, which is like a painter's mask. It's so uncomfortable. And I bought it for 50 pesos, which would be €2, which is crazy expensive for a mask like that. But okay.
And who did you buy it from?
Like from a taxi company, which is so odd, but they were like selling them right next to the taxi local thing. Yeah. And like, I'll buy some.
Yeah. Well, but, good that you could.
Yeah. There's nowadays so many, there's some crazy like.
Face shield.
Thing, which are like 70 pesos. 70 pesos, €3. Yeah.
Gotta get a face shield. I was at the sewing shop today, as you can hear, and there was a box with medical masks, and it was like, I don't know, 2 for €5. And I was like, And then I looked at all the parts to make one, and I thought, no, we're making.
So, that's great.
Yeah, we'll see. So, people do, and there is always some talk about what Trump has said lately, not because they actually look to him for anything good, but they do love to get mad or just go pfft. So there's still a lot of attention given to his statements, even though there's no expectation of logic or anything.
Our president, when all this started, I guess he said something like, they were talking about social distancing in other countries, and he was like, no, don't do that, let's hug each other.
Oh wow.
Then a week after that, he completely resented, regretted saying that statement.
Is his popularity going up or down with all of this going on? Same.
I don't know.
Nah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, to his benefit, that he doesn't, I don't think he makes a lot of big headlines for saying stupid things right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could just hide and you might do well these days.
I think I read that he said that we already defeated this thing or something.
Oh, we declared victory.
Worst moment of the pandemic, but whatever.
Yeah, well, there's this whole thing, right? And the American president, maybe some leaders also do this, which is they really believe you have to be positive, and they take it so far. Like declaring everything is cool, even when things are terrible. Like I used to joke that was how American business works. Like even when your company is doing terrible, you're like, we're doing great. Everything's great. And yeah, so now they hire these business, I mean, they elect these business leaders as presidents and whatever else. So they're going to use the same logic. Like, no, doesn't matter what's happening. I'm going to tell you really positive stuff. And people some people just go, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's the same here. Like, we just want to hear reassuring things, even when
they
might not be so true.
Yeah. It is amazing. Like, because when you look at the numbers per country, that's a lot of people, not just sick, but who have died. And to say, like, but we're past it now. It's getting better now. It's like, wait, but look at those numbers. Like, that's a huge amount of people.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
How is it in the Netherlands, actually?
I haven't looked this week, to be honest. But it hasn't been great. I mean, in terms of comparing with other countries, what's the latest? But the per capita rate of people who are sick and was pretty high. I think Belgium was actually lower because they're being a little stricter. Let's see, Netherlands Corona. But at the same time, it really depends on where, because what do they claim? So for Netherlands, we have 39,700 cases confirmed, and there's almost 5,000 deaths, 4,800. And then there was
sounds higher than in here, but it's probably just because you started earlier.
That's true. Yeah, that is something. I wonder what's Mexico at. But what also happened? So you have confirmed in Mexico 19,000 deaths. Yeah. 1,800. Also odd, and I don't even know the reason why, but there's this, remember the regions, there's Brabant, which is, I think, to the south of us. Anyway, Brabant had like a huge percentage, like one in something people had the virus in the beginning. This was more than a month ago. So even though here in Amsterdam, things were reasonably okay, it was known that it was in a region of the Netherlands and that it was really common there. So it's gone like that. You know, you get these areas sometimes, like I think South Korea, it was one of the major reasons was some cult, some religious sect that were like always together. And that was that guy that then had to apologize and a lot of his people got sick and I think died.
Like the north of Italy also, where it was crazy.
Yeah, really bad. Yeah. So, yeah, there have been weird examples, strange numbers, much higher than you'd think. And then everybody wants to talk about Sweden all the time because there's a curiosity because they didn't try so hard to at least to do this distancing. But we'll never totally understand it, at least not right now. I think maybe later. But hey, you know, Sweden, I mean, they already are social distancing as a culture.
Yes.
That's my
opinion. They don't hug much.
No, they're like, oh, we just have to keep doing our thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm setting up like a Corona stand-up thing. You have to do a Sweden joke.
I love it.
Yeah. It's all done by a video.
I kind of like that. It started even before the coronavirus was declared a pandemic, or at least like in here, because the feminist movement was doing, it did a really, on the 9th of March, I think it was, a really big, it's not called strike, when people go out on the streets and they like...
Yeah, it was like... It was kind of a, what do you call that? Not a demonstration, but an action.
A parade. Not a parade.
Flash mob?
No, the word in English.
Remember flash mobs?
Yeah. They dance and all.
But they did a spontaneous looking action.
Came out on the street in Mexico to protest against violence because it's really bad in here. And they said, we're not going to kiss each other because we say hello like with one kiss, one cheek only.
Yeah.
Luckily. And then they started saying, we're not going to do that because of the coronavirus. And then also like the feminist said, oh, we're not doing that because we don't want to do it. We're sick of kissing crazy men on
True. Yeah.
Which was great.
That's a really good point. I mean, if it qualifies as hello, but only women have to do it, it's not a very equal Yeah.
I mean, yeah, men with each other, amongst each other, they don't do it.
No.
But
women have to kiss everybody. Even if they're like in positions of power and importance and they don't know, they still do it.
Yeah, they still do it. Yeah. Well, I guess not nowadays. Yeah. I actually use the excuse to not kiss some guys. I swear, like, I was like, no, you know, this corona thing, I'd rather not doing. So,
But hello. Yeah. Wave. Hello. Yeah. Well, that's that other question, right? Like, okay, let's say, I don't know, 2-3 months, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. We come out to some kind of life is, you can go out, you can be social, but what stays changed, right? So I guess, you know, from what you just said, I mean, even the, whether we credit it to the feminist movement or just one change could be that you're not going to find that many women kissing people hello anymore. And there's a number of reasons for it, but it's changed basically. Like that is different.
I really hope it stays that way.
You're going to keep it going. Like, we're still not kissing you.
I think I will. Like, you know, I'm a germaphobe. I do enjoy kissing some people a lot, but
yeah. I do miss the hugs. Hello. And I always wonder if now I'm becoming a different person if I don't hug people hello anymore. Yeah.
And also in the Netherlands, you used to give like 3 kisses, which
was
crazy.
It is a little crazy. And I don't know if it's going to survive. And I remember Macron said, like, I don't know, a month ago or two, he said to France, you know, listen, this is going on, isolation, and stop kissing each other hello. And it's like, wow, France is now, like, the French government is saying, don't kiss each other hello. Could this last, you know, beyond?
Yeah. That's like religion over there.
I remember when I studied in the South, I didn't know, because this is not the case in Portugal, and in that sense, it's somewhat like Mexico, that men, if you're good friends, you would kiss each other hello. At least in X, that's how it was. So I remember when I first saw it, I was like, okay, note to self, when I make friends with a man, if I'm going to say hello, I should kiss him. Because it really didn't come naturally at that point. You know, I was like, oh, I have to remember
that's
to do this.
That's in Portugal or in the Netherlands?
Southern France.
Oh, Southern France. Okay.
Yeah. But it wasn't even that clear because you had to be really close friends.
Yeah.
Later, I figured that out.
Yeah, we're still, like, I would say not many people kissed me in the Netherlands. 3 times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just 2 people, I guess. Yeah.
Nah, it's also that there are so many people here from so many places that a lot of these traditions are not really understood or even there's just no consensus. You still see a little bit about that now, like, even though all the tourists are gone, which you would find hilarious.
Oh my God. I love it.
I know. I walk by all those places, some where you used to work and some where we used to hang out, and they're all empty or closed. And it's like, wow. But you still see some international people that live here now, many of them who normally would have been gone, would have been traveling, and they're like kind of here and they're kind of trying to talk to their neighbors for the first time in years. And it's a funny process to watch.
Yeah.
A lot of neighbors meeting neighbors for the first time.
I guess you have to do it.
Nothing
that's
else
great.
To do.
Yeah. Not even here. I haven't really find myself talking to the neighbors, but I would like to, but people, I guess, like, this is a really big city, so people are very hostile.
Or suspicious?
Yeah, also.
Yeah.
I guess.
A friend of mine in Paris was leaving a note in his building saying, like, hey, it's a corona time. If you need any help, here's my phone number. Maybe we should have a WhatsApp group. Does anyone want to participate in a musical exchange where we play instruments out the window? And he got mixed reactions. But there was some response.
I was thinking about doing a little theater thing, and I thought about, like, telling my neighbors, like, I would be on in the hallway and you could watch it from your house or from the stairs or something, but then I really thought, like, I don't really know them, I don't really like them that much, so.
Well, that doesn't help.
So I didn't really feel like doing it, but I guess also if I would be more approachable or friendly, they would respond in a nice their way, I guess. I don't know.
Do you? Oh, I heard an actual honking of a car. Okay, that still happens.
That I thought maybe some of the like the tamales guy or the one that buys fierro viejo.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You heard that one?
That's an international tradition in many countries.
Yeah. But no, it's because it's Primero de Mayo.
Oh now yeah.
Nobody's working.
Right. Oh yeah, that's interesting too. They gave you a date. I mean, maybe they gave a date here, but I don't know what it is. They gave an estimate for when people come back out into some kind of public life, right? And what is it?
Yeah, May the 1st of June. Yeah.
All right.
So another month.
You've rolled your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. You've got those projects around the house.
Yeah, I hope I'll write some more. Tomorrow we'll have a reading of a screenplay I wrote.
Okay.
But that's 6 p.m. That's 18 hours our time.
Okay. So 6 p.m. Mexico City time. People can, so how do they?
It's through Facebook, through the website of this Nuna Teatro, which is the theater company.
Okay, I'm going to put a link.
Yeah.
Wait, I'll send it to you. So if they're doing it and they do it through Facebook, then the recording probably stays there too.
Yeah, okay. It stays there.
Okay, cool. Well, this is an activity I can follow. I like seeing what you're working on. I don't get to see the plays in person, but online.
And you understand really well. Yeah. You speak Spanish, yeah.
I'm good. I'm good.
Portiñol.
Portiñol siempre, yeah. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the podcast and telling us a little about how the world looks from where you sit with your cup of...
It's tea.
Okay. Yeah. The day is no longer young. So, and I'll put a link to, well, anything you tell me to put a link to, but starting with the readings, I think it would be interesting for people. I think it's fun to see what people are working on, whether it's something they would have been doing anyway, or it's something that they just thought up in this time of crisis and creativity.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. And one day we'll sit in a room together again.
And I really hope so. Yeah.
Either turn on a mic or just have tea.
Of course.
Lorena de la Parra is an actor and a citizen of the world and my friend. And I'm very thankful that she could join us just to talk about what it all looks like these days. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. The funny thing about making podcasts, a lot of people are trying it or have tried it, and I always think about how to start it all off, at the very core of it, you should do it for you, and you should do something that you find interesting or enjoyable, and that quintessentially is what this program is, today's, and all of them, really. There's something that I do that is for me first, but then there's that other element of people joining, and that's you, the listener, wherever you are right now. And it's amazing because you could be anywhere. And it's a big world, lots of podcasts out there, yet somehow you are listening here, you understand or get something from it. That is also quite beautiful. So thanks for listening, and I'll provide a link to Lorena's reel. I'm trying to speak like an actor now. Her reel and any links social media-wise so you can find her. As you heard, there's always things that can be done via the internet, via video, via audio, and she's doing a lot of it, but of course, it's always good to get more work. I certainly understand that feeling, seeking more projects, and so on. That's it for us for now. CitizenReporter.org is the website, but of course, you're subscribed in your podcast player, so you see Citizen Reporter and you get the new shows when they're ready. I'm very glad that you do. And if you know someone who might be interested, by all means, it's fun to have more listeners. But you're my star right now, so thanks. And until next time, for another conversation in these, what everyone keeps calling, strange times, I'm Mark Fonseca Rendeiro. See ya.